Donal on a Kitchen talks about food. Donal on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donal on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donal on a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigo.
And I'm Donna Prusgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. And we are here at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, the center of Ames, the center of Iowa, the center of it all. Thanks for joining us today. Well, here comes summer, Donna.
Oh, thank goodness.
Finally. So, unfortunately, mosquitoes are back.
It's part of the package.
But I am so glad that central Iowa got rain, even though many communities got a bit more than what they bargained for, still dealing with high wind and tornado damage. Not good, but things are green, irises are blooming, and peonies. I love the smell of peonies.
Me too.
See, just once a year, you kind of get your nose full. I mean, if that smell went on all the time, I probably wouldn't like it. But I like it. I like peonies. Gardens. Good things from the gardens, and many good things to look forward to, because here comes summer. Well, there is an exciting new thing happening here in town. Believe it or not, there's a new farmer's market starting up at a place called Reliable Street. It's on the northwest edge of Ames. It has been a growing, wonderful bit of creativity for quite a few years now. And now there is a farmer's market in the offing. And joining us here in the studio to talk about this exciting project are Willa Colville and Megan Byrne. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Good. So, what is this? What is the Reliable Street Farmer's Market? Tell us.
Well, this is a community-oriented market. Myself, Megan, and a few of our friends took initiative and started this way back in January and have been planning to do this ever since. It'll be on Reliable Street once a month this summer, first Friday of June, July, and August. And our main goal here is to provide a space for community and a free meal for the community as well that will be provided by donors. We're sharing produce from the collective garden on the property, and we'll have all sorts of vendors and games and activities for families.
That's great. So, Reliable Street has always got something going on. To let people know that on my way home from the studio or on my way home from downtown Ames, I pass by Reliable Street quite a bit because I live on the northwest edge of Ames too. And just before I crossed the railroad tracks to go north out of Ames.
On North Dakota.
And I look to my left. And what do I see? It used to be just a big empty old grain elevator.
A big grain elevator. Tons of concrete.
Yes. And I thought, well, there it sits. I don't suppose that's ever going to amount to anything, I says a few years ago. But it has. Tell us a bit more about what we can find at Reliable Street, because it is no longer just a big empty grain elevator. What else goes on there?
Correct, yeah. So ever since the 1960s, that's kind of when the space really started to transform. And at the beginning of 2015, a couple bought the property and just kind of used it as a space for the arts and a space for a community to be creative and come together as a collective. And right now, within the building, there are events such as concerts. There are occasionally artists that will showcase their new up-and-coming art. There is a stage now built for open mics. There are comedy nights that take place about once a month. And then there is also a cafe within the building. It's called Lockwood Cafe. It is separate from Reliable Street itself. But that's what like the main building hosts. And then that beautiful stretch of land outside, that's kind of what we're going to be able to explore a little bit more with the farmers market. So there is the Collective Garden, the Reliable Street Collective Garden, right on that little strip of land, and that is open to anybody, all gardeners, all people who want to garden. And then next to the garden, there is a free thrift shed. So this is a always open, always accessible thrift shed where people can drop off soft goods such as clothing. There's a lot of kids items, there's shoes, there's books, toys, and that is just a space to be able to bless people who might not be able to go purchase new things. So we have a lot of foot traffic coming in on that daily. There are people who are dropping off items in that thrift shed and then people just coming in and getting to shop around for free and find a bunch of new goodies. And then the most recent addition is a community fridge. That was something that the Reliable Street Committee was able to start earlier this year. And there is just a fridge off to the side of the free thrift. And people are welcome to donate any kind of food that they have either prepared, anything that they have just abundance of that they want to be able to share. And then again, that is the same exact way that the free thrift shed operates as well. Anyone is able to just come and take what they need and vice versa, just drop off.
Well, tell me how the refrigerator works.
Yeah.
Something so perishable. What do you date everything so you
Correct.
Know when to pull
yeah.
it?
And so we do just ask anybody that is dropping off items to make sure that they are just putting the date that it has prepped, and then just kind of their like whatever they recommend for shelf life. It's not something that is store purchased.
Mm-hmm. And a list of ingredients as well.
Yeah, just for people who might have like food allergies or just sensitivities.
Yeah.
So somebody has to like kind of keep their eye on it and make sure that the food passes through in a timely manner. And
correct. Yeah, yes. There's a couple people who just check in on it weekly and also just some very kind community members who will go and make sure it's clean and just make sure there's nothing going old in there too.
Yeah, we have free thrift fairies that will come yes. and clean up everything every once in a while.
Thrift fairies. What a good idea. Oh, I could use one of those at my house.
I want to. I keep hearing the word free. This is not really something you hear in a capitalist society. This free stuff. The idea of how did that happen? Why is the word free so often coming up?
Well, one of the main missions of Reliable Street is for economic development, as well as development through the arts. But since they started or originated, they've had this free thrift and have just been continually trying to provide opportunities for lower income families and community members and build a space that, is accessible and not necessarily costly, and we believe that community doesn't have anything to do with the amount of money you have, and we welcome all people from all walks of life and hope that they can get something out of this space, whether that just be a friendship or if they need a free meal or a new shirt or anything along those lines.
Sounds good to me.
It's like the old waste not want not kind of.
I like it. What a good idea.
Well, I like it because as a piece of architecture, right. which the building itself is, and it hasn't been used for many years for what it was built for. It's no longer a grain elevator. It would just sit there and crumble and just have its microwave towers on top, and it's right next to the train tracks. It's a very odd, interesting kind of building. So to put that sort of something that could be an eyesore to something useful in the community and make it a beautiful thing is pretty clever.
Yeah, one man's trash
is another man's trash. And form follows function, or did I get that backwards? Anyway, the oddity of the architecture and the reuse of it as something that it was not built to be used as, you know, it kind of captures the imagination that obviously is influencing everything else that goes on in that building. So,
absolutely.
Very good. Yeah, there's many things that go on there. Well, you mentioned the Lockwood Cafe, which was, it's been there for quite a while. We've talked to Austin and Sharon on our show.
I'm trying to think how long, 6 years maybe? Long.
What did they say? 2015 was when they
first. Oh, my, went. How time flies.
Well, I don't know what, that's when the building was purchased. Sure. But
yeah,
anyway.
The cafe started operating in fall of 2019.
2019,
okay,
there you go.
That sounds about right.
There you go. Yeah, and just what every community needs. People need coffee, and they need crepes. They probably didn't know they needed coffee and crepes,
well,
but
yeah,
they
do. A place
do.
To go for these
a
things.
A place
right.
to go. Mm-hmm. It is. And it ends up being, well, like any good coffee shop or any good place to meet, you go there because you're going to talk to somebody. You're going to have a small meeting. You're going to drop something off. It becomes a destination for getting things done, but also for meeting people face to face. I know there's somebody that you can go to talk about bicycle repair there. Not every day, but yeah, you can find somebody and computers and questions that need to be answered and. I know for a long time there was a place to recycle cans and see one of those handy places. Is that still going on, the recycling of cans? That's where I take mine because I try to reduce my waste, but you know, I like my cans of beer and things and it does add up and it's good to have a place to go. That's good. So Willa and Megan. How did you get involved in this, and how long have you been involved in this project?
Yeah, so Willa actually approached me and a few other people back in winter.
Yeah, in December.
And just kind of said, hey, I have this idea, and I would love for you to be a part of it, which was very, very humbling. And it was really just we have an idea, but how do we even get that going? And so I know you, Willa, did some research on how do you even get this thing licensable? Like, how are we able to...
How does one do that? One does not just say, I'm going to have a farmer's market. It sounds like many, many things had to be done. Well, just the small considerations of what you have to consider before this starts up.
Well, the main thing that I had to consider was the space to do it. And Reliable Street and their board has been... so generous, and I know a few years back they had a very small farmer's market, which that was kind of my inspiration. I wanted to bring that back to the community, and they just simply didn't have the time or the means to put it together because it is a lot of work. Yeah. So I'm very grateful that they gave us that opportunity to use their space. And I think that it definitely aligns with what they, have been trying to accomplish over in that area. But, obviously I couldn't have done it without Megan and the rest of the Reliable Street Farmers Market Committee. And we've kind of reached out to community members, trying to find local vendors for months and, just kind of working with Reliable Street on how we can use the space. We won't be closing the street down, just due to licensing and the fact that, there is some cost barriers there and, some other barriers as well that just makes it a little difficult. So, but we are able to just use the full property of Reliable Street, which
it's a big space. There's room for lots of people there. What sort of vendors can we look forward to seeing?
Yeah, so we're gonna have about 15 vendors at each market, and just to kind of align with our mission of accessibility and people over profit, we have asked each vendor to provide something low cost. So each vendor should have something around $10 or less that people will be able to purchase. So we're going to have artists selling paintings. We're going to have some chefs there and some bakers. There's going to be some fresh baked goods. We're excited to have some people providing pickled fruits and vegetables. Included within the baking, there's going to be some vegan and gluten-free options. So just anybody who has those food sensitivities should be able to find something that they would be able to purchase. And then also within the free meal, there's going to be options in that as well for people who are on different diet and food needs. We are also going to have a few interactive vendors. We're going to have someone doing free tarot card readings. An individual is going to just kind of provide lessons in mindfulness. And a counselor from Ames Middle School is going to be facilitating a conversation and game table between neighbors. One of the main reaches for the market, besides just the community of Ames, is also the Ontario neighborhood that just is kind of back between Abby Sawyer Elementary and then Lockwood's building itself. So the main reach is to make sure that that community and neighbor have access to vendors, because sometimes it is hard to get down to the farmer's market down here on Main Street in the weekend time. That's just sometimes people's schedule don't align with that, and so we're going to be doing the market in the evening time, but really just want to make sure that our vendors are a wide range of people, but again, accessible and affordable. And we're really looking forward to the lineup that we have.
Good for you.
People, so.
Great. Yeah. To get people to come and be willing to interact with community. I wonder, maybe you don't know yet, what is the neighborhood reaction to this? I know when Reliable Street was first purchased, that big grain elevator, I mean, it was this big, quiet, hulking beast for quite a few years, and then all of a sudden people start moving in, and if it was in my neighborhood right next door, oh my goodness, what's going on over there? But, has there been any pushback to traffic or anything that people are complaining about? I can't think what it would be, but, what's the neighborhood reaction to what's going on at Reliable Street?
Well, I guess we haven't had much of a reaction yet, but I think we're very hopeful for after the first market. I think one of the biggest things with our market is kind of showcasing the Reliable Street space and the Collective Garden, the Free Thrift, and the fridge. Since a lot of people are unaware that it's there, if you don't walk that direction, then it's kind of off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. So we think that this market will bring more people in, especially in the Ontario neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
All of the pre-advertising that we've been doing, just trying to get the word out before this is actually happening, I have only had positive conversations with people so far. We were able to get some advertisement up in Lockwood Cafe's building and then down here on Main Street at Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, and just keeping in touch with the employees there. Conversations have been very, very positive. I think there's just been a lot of excitement for people to see how this actually works out. And
oh, good.
The turnout.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Well, tell me for you two, what building community, obviously you're doing this basically on a volunteer basis, mm-hmm. because it's something you care about, and what does building community mean in your generation?
That's a very good question.
It is.
For me, at least, I think building community means being there for your neighbors in their times of need, fostering a space where you can connect with people. I know a lot of people may live alone, or they aren't necessarily around people their age, and it's difficult to make friends in the age of social media. So that's a big thing, is having a space in real life.
I like those terms, real life, yes. And it's kind of hard to have a virtual farmer's market, coming to think about it, or even to...
That's the thing about food. It's the one item you really can't do well on the internet.
That's true. And that also includes the cooking shows or the cooking advice I try to get from the internet. I mean, it's there. There's tons of it. But it's so nice to have real people and to run your food by and real people to get advice from. It's good. It's good.
Yes, and learning from other people skills you may not necessarily have, like gardening or pickling and that kind of thing.
Yeah. With the garden, we really do just hope to provide education as well. Food is a necessity, and obviously we all need it. And right now that can be really difficult with prices going up. Sometimes it is difficult to figure out how to feed yourself and your loved ones healthy, accessible food. And
right, because the cheap food is not the healthy food,
right, we usually just want to show people that there are easy ways to implement getting something as simple as greens or just little things you can do in your kitchen to save money, but also have a fun project. Because I've just noticed for myself, being able to grow my own food and be able to put that on a table for myself and for people just makes it all the more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. To just be like, wait, I kind of started this from the bottom up and now we're here and this is now feeding and nourishing me and the people around me.
So what is the free meal that you're going to have? How's that going to work?
Yeah, so for the first market, Lockwood Cafe has generously donated the free meal. They will be grilling burgers. There'll be vegan patties as well. And then we'll have a side dish, veggie pasta salad. And we're really hoping that at the first market we can use some of the greens from the garden for the burgers and just show people how they can utilize the food that we've been growing for them, you know?
Good. Yeah, that garden that's there. I remember when it first started and I thought, well, you mean you're just going to grow a garden and like have people like take things? And I've watched it over the years. And yes, some of the early years things were planted and it got pretty dense in there. But somebody must be taking care of it because each year there's a community garden. Is there a gardener person that is responsible for it?
Well, so the garden was originally started by a group of Ames High students. They worked with the Reliable Street nonprofit and they built out the beds and the space. And their main goal was for the community to come in and step up and garden and use the space as they want, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I guess in the past few years, it's had its ups and downs. Sometimes there's been a lot of involvement with the community. Other years, not as much. But the Ames High students and our Farmers Market Committee have actually been putting a lot of work in this year. And we're hoping that at the market, it'll showcase this garden and people will become more interested in being involved. And moving forward, we'll have more volunteers and more excitement.
It's a good space for a garden, room to grow, lots of sunshine. Mm-hmm. And I think a garden, you think of a garden, well, it's behind somebody's house. It's somebody's garden. But there's something to be said for a garden that has lots of eyes on it, lots of people take it as one of their own. And to reach in and pull out a weed or help yourself to a cherry tomato, that sounds like community building to me. That sounds like a good thing. And it has been there a number of years. But as people find out and get used to this idea, I think we're working into something really good. I'm going to take a little break here and remind folks, this is KHOI. You're listening to the Donald on a Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was some music from the Barn Owl Band. You hear the Barn Owl Band a lot on this radio program. That's because I happen to like that music, and I get to decide what's on. That was a tune called Unqua Road, written by Mike Bell. We're talking to Willa Colville and Megan Bird about an exciting new project here in Ames. Farmers Market, a place not just to market our farmers and buy and sell things, but this is a community building event. Thanks for being with us today. So we've talked about how the Farmers Market Committee started, but tell us more about what's going to happen at this Farmers Market.
Yeah, so obviously there will be local vendors, but one of the main things that we want to do at this market is provide food for the community without barriers. So we want to utilize the entire collective garden space, and we're also asking for the community to get involved. We'll be hosting a produce sharing booth that we'll have whatever is available in the garden at that time. I'm sure there'll be plenty of radishes and some greens at the first market, and it'll be a learning experience for the community as well as us as to what the earth will provide. And continuing along those lines, we have the free meal donated by the Lockwood Cafe, and we'll be pulling out a few things from the always open free thrift on the Reliable Street property. And obviously, people are always welcome to bring donations to the free thrift and the community fridge, but good. We'll be pulling some things out and showcasing the best outfits and toys for community members.
Oh, good. It's the thrift building, or the thrift shop, and the refrigerator, is that in the Reliable Street in the grain elevator part, or is where is it?
Yeah, it's outside. Just on that green space. So as soon as you turn left right off of Dakota before those train tracks, the garden is kind of what you see first, and then right after that is the free thrift shed. And then the fridge is directly next to that. And then all of Lockwood Cafe's sitting outside area. And then the actual building itself. Good. So everything is just in a nice little cohesive line. There's a wonderful sidewalk. And it's very accessible for anybody to just come to the space.
I want to mention, also at this space, there is a really nice play structure for kids.
Yes.
Well, not just for kids. I rather enjoy it myself. It's a sculpture of sorts, and you can crawl on it and crawl through it, and it's a nice place to be. Just another nice thing that happens out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely just wanting to make sure that kids feel welcome at this as well. We're going to have a little kids' corner. The Ames Public Library is actually going to also have a little pop-up doing some story time and just doing an outreach there to make sure that kids have what they need for summer reading. And there's going to be some fun crafts and projects for kiddos. So we also just want to make sure this is a family-friendly space.
Good.
And so people don't need to worry about leaving their kids at home or getting a sitter for these evenings. Please bring your family, your little ones. We want to be inclusive.
Good. Years ago, I was part of farmers markets here in Ames, in downtown Ames. And because this is Ames, and because this event is right next to the railroad tracks, I want to mention trains. Sometimes things get very noisy out there. You have to learn to adapt. So I would let people know that there will be trains going by, but actually that can be pretty exciting, especially for kids. So there you go.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm working in the garden, every time a train goes by, I'll wave. And sometimes they'll honk their horns and as their version of a wave.
Oh, very good. Good. So there will be trains, yes.
Well, I'm just really fascinated and grateful to see these ongoing new examples of building community. That's sort of an amorphous term, but you know, I mean, Ames is a fairly typical town, and we're really fortunate to have many groups that are doing, you know, every little community event builds. You know, as you mentioned, the library is involved. A lot of community things happen at the library. That's the most obvious place. But, you know, we also have Food at First, which makes meals for people. This has been going on for multiple years. What else? Romero House is the Catholic Workers' House, which is now expanding. And Alice McGarry's Mustard Seed Farm, which does a lot of community work and giveaway and food raising. And community and food, it's a theme. It's a thing that works together. And many, you know, different communities have their own individual groups doing. It's completely unique in every community because it's like, you guys step up, you see what you could do, and it's different than another group, what they're doing. But the spirit of it all is, it's communal. And hopefully it's contagious. So there, yeah. In a very best way, you know?
The very best way, Donna. Good. Mention how many donors and something about the donors that are helping you do this.
Yeah, so we have a few businesses that have donated monetary donations. Lockwood Cafe obviously has been a huge support for us. Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, High Class Glass over on Lincoln Way has donated some money for us. And also one of our dear friends' families, the Verba family, made a generous donation in honor of her late father, Gary Verba. So we know that he would have loved the community space that we're building, and we're very excited to see what the market becomes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, it certainly cross-pollinates with what we're doing here at KHOI, too, because it's community radio.
That's true. A lot of people volunteer, and what happens when people volunteer, they tend to do their best. They bring the best, and surprisingly bring their best. Our talents and skills are all different, which kind of helps when you think about it. That's good. So tell us again what's happening, where, and how people can show up and experience this.
Yeah, so the first farmers market will be on June 7th, Friday, June 7th, and from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And people can just show up, and you don't have to bring anything. You can bring donations of produce, seeds, or seedlings if you have the means to donate, of course. But otherwise, we really just want to have people come and meet their neighbors and see what Reliable Street's all about, see new local artists, and just gather in the space, I guess. This will be taking place once a month. So again, June 7th, then July 5th, and August 2nd. And it will be in the evening time just to accommodate for working families.
Well, that's a good thing. Ames doesn't have an I guess they used to have an afternoon farmers market out at the mall. Maybe they still do. But anyway, it's a good time for me. I don't know about anybody else. I think it's a brilliant idea. That's great. Is there a website or a phone number, or for people that are curious and are sitting at their computers and want to...
Or maybe you need more volunteers?
Oh, of course. The garden is always open for volunteering. There's no sign-up necessary. One of our committee members actually just wrote up a wonderful worksheet with things to do at the garden, like go and water the plants or just...
I bet it's a long list. Good. Yes. There's always something to do in a garden. Very good. So that's something people can volunteer
absolutely.
For. Where else? How can they find out about this?
Yeah, so we do have a website up and going right now. The website is a Google website, so it's going to be your sites.google.com/view/Reliable Street Farmers Market. All of our posters that are up, we've got quite a few in the West Ames area, but we have some posted at Morning Bell Coffee Roasters and Lockwood Cafe and High Class Glass, our gracious donors. And all of those posters have a QR code that you can scan with a smartphone, but also have the like site written out for the website link, so people can just type that into their smartphone or write down if they don't have something accessible right there to go look at a computer later. And within our website, we just have a couple tabs of basically explanation what the market is, what kind of involvement people can do, and basically it's just an information dump right there. Yeah. So that just is good. A nice cohesive little summary of everything we've been chatting about.
Good. So is this something that you think will be an annual? Are you setting it up to be repeated next year?
Yeah, I think
all goes well.
I think that is the consensus right now. We'll obviously see how the next few months go. But after the initial planning, I think in the next following years, it'll be a little bit easier every time. So I don't see why not.
It sounds like a celebration. And I think we're all too a little shy of celebrating things. Show up and smile, share a meal, and share and celebrate garden stuff. I'm always up for things like that. That's good. So thank you for being with us today. We've been talking to Willa Colville and Megan Bird about the Reliable Street Farmers Market. It's a brand new thing. Reliable Street isn't, but the Farmers Market is
right.
Let's remind them,
it's really easy to find. You take North Dakota right to the edge of town, and just before you cross the railroad tracks, you make a left.
That's it.
And it's that big concrete, obviously an old silos and
grain elevator.
Grain elevator. You can't miss it. Nothing subtle about it.
Let's not be subtle. Let's gather and have a good time. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
This is KHOI, and I want to mention that you can find out more at www.khoifm.org. And if you're so moved, consider supporting this fine station by becoming a member. And on that website, you can find out more about the Donalana Kitchen. We've got a website there, and there's a picture of us, and there's archives of our old shows and recipes. And, Donna, we have a podcast. Tell them about our podcast.
Oh, that's right. So the content of the show, which is live, as it is now, is recorded, and then it's released in a podcast format every Thursday after the show on Tuesday. And you can find the podcast by wherever you listen to podcasts. You put in Donalana, that's one word, Donalana, kitchen, second word, and there you will have the podcast.
So if you just can't get enough of us. This is the Donalana Kitchen. Summer, lots of good things going on, and it seems like a new farmer's market. Well, new farmer's markets are a lot of work, my goodness. But we wish Megan and Willa and all the folks at the Reliable Street Farmer's Market a good time. Growing community, what a good idea.
There's always so much going on out there that the facility is just jumping with multiple uses. It's a bright spot in our community.
And who would have thought? I mean, a grain elevator is not one of your kind of cozy-looking places to be, but there's a lot of nice spaces.
Literally a white elephant, basically. Yeah.
A very large. Elephant is a good term, a good term. Well, I mentioned peonies earlier, and
There's a lot of flowers that you can eat, and not necessarily peonies, although I suppose it wouldn't kill you. Surprisingly, you can eat pretty much everything. Probably the list of things that cause you harm are a lot less.
We're not recommending peonies.
No. Okay. But there's lots of flowers that you can eat, and mainly flowers are just, they're, not many of them have a really strong taste, but some do. But just the idea of putting a flower on your plate to feed the eye, because eating with your eyes is really important. I flipped open a page here from, we've talked about this book a lot, and because it's a good book, the Forge Your Chef's Book of Flora by Alan Burgo. He gathers a lot of things and cooks things.
He is from the northern Midwest area, so the things in his book are the things that we have around here, and his work is very relevant to what we might find in the wild, in the garden, you know.
Yes, I mean,
he's a good chef.
Yeah, sometimes garden books and plant books end up being, I've never heard of some of those things, but some of them
should be very region specific. Yeah. So here we go.
Here's
this is for us.
Some of the stuff that he suggests.
Midwest.
Virginia waterleaf. Now, that's a very early spring thing, and it's in flower now. You might think of it as a weed, but there it is. It's a crumpety, fluffy-looking flower that's about a foot or 2 feet high. Early in the season, Virginia waterleaf has wonderful leaves that are good for salads, but this is in his flowers category. Comfrey. And heaven knows, comfrey. I've got comfrey up the kazoo. I didn't know you could eat the blossoms, but I'd rather eat the blossoms than have them go to seed.
They might be starting to blossom about
now. Oh, good
now.
Heavens.
I spent
a couple hours yesterday actually chopping down a mess of my comfrey because I could take like half a dozen plants or even a dozen, but I had like hundreds because they are quite prolific. They come up all over the place, and so I chopped a mess of them down. They make great compost. Chickens like to peck at them, so I throw some of them over the fence to the chickens. All the big leaves. But the flowers are beautiful right now, all these little purple flowers. Mustards. Mustards have a little bright yellow flower, and they do taste like mustard. Subtle, but it's a, and dead nettles have flowers. I don't know.
But like, for example, mustards are really good in salads.
Oh, very good.
You might
good.
Not want to put them on the cake.
Well, that's true. So you see flowers occasionally in baking as a garnish. Chives, onion chives, and garlic chives.
But those are up now, and those are also another thing that are quite pretty, but I don't think I'd put them on a cake. They're a salad thing.
They're very oniony.
Because they're oniony.
They're very nice. I didn't know he'd eat lilacs. He's got lilacs listed here.
Okay, but he doesn't have peonies listed here.
Yeah, we haven't come across peonies.
Okay, so you can eat lilacs. Okay, well, the lilacs are just about done and gone.
Campion, which is a prairie plant, and it looks kind of silly. This white fellow with a little bladder behind it, a campion. You can look that up. Roses are edible. Yes, they are.
Yes, and the caution with roses is always to find the ones that haven't been sprayed, because roses, you know, if they're heavily ornamental, they have been usually had a heavy chemical treatment because they're so vulnerable, especially to mold. So pick roses carefully.
Pick your roses where you may or something
yeah,
like
where
that.
You know,
but
where
careful,
you know what's happened
careful,
to them.
Yes. Yeah. Daylilies, yeah. I've tried recipes where you're supposed to pick the daylily and stuff the daylily with like...
Oh, yeah, that's stuff. Like stuffing squash blossoms.
Oh,
you
yes,
know,
it,
that's
it,
an Italian
that.
Thing. They put ricotta into the squash blossom, and I have to say I have never done it because it looks so tedious to me.
I've done it. It's tedious, though.
Well, and the squash blossom itself, and probably the daylily, does not have that much flavor. So it's sort of, as my mother would call it, gilding the lily, you know? What is the point?
And in this case, gilding the daylilies. Although, if you are making a nice a clear summer soup, they're nice to kind of chop up and put those bright orange.
Oh, float onto the top.
Float them on top.
Garnish, garnish, okay.
Garnish, garnish. Vetch, vetch is, well, it's a legume. Huh? You need that. Hasta flowers. Hasta flowers are edible. Actually, the hasta stalk is too. I've never eaten hasta flowers. Maybe I should give them a try. And columbine. Columbine. That's a common. It's a favorite garden flower.
Yeah, the rabbits love them.
Oh, they do. They do. But at the end of these little trumpets, at the tail end of the little trumpet of the blossom, is a little circle that you can bite, and there's little honey in each one of those little circles.
Oh, is it kind of like a honeysuckle flower way?
Yeah, just really good.
Well, they are beautiful. They are definitely beautiful.
And, of course, we like nasturtiums.
Okay, I grow nasturtiums because I love them, but they are delicious, and the leaves are delicious, and they are horseradishy kind of flavored.
I do like that. A little bite to them. Yes, horseradish. Nasturtiums is good. Bergamot, that, you need those.
Now, is bergamot the same as bee balm?
Yes, I believe so.
Right, Monarda is the bergamot, it's everywhere around here in various colors. Pinks, purples, it's be later in the summer, but we'll have it. So bee balm is bergamot, huh? Okay.
Yeah. There's a number, sometimes there's a number of domesticated bergamots. They kind of bred for the fancier colors.
Like the bright red one. Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Challenge to grow, I must say. Mm. The wild one. And then there's borage.
I love borage. I always plant borage. It has those fuzzy leaves, which they don't have a lot of flavor, but the borage flowers are these little blue star-shaped things. And they also, they do not have a pronounced flavor enough, but for decorating cakes, borage is my favorite. It's just adorable, I have to say.
And those little five-petaled blue flowers are rather hardy, so you can handle them. And they're not going to fall apart on you. Like, I like them.
Yeah, if you're having an evening party, of course, you do it at the last minute, and nasturtiums are that way too. You can pick them enough in advance to use them for a garnish on your meal, and they don't wilt immediately.
A fun thing to do, yes, yes. And don't forget violets. Way in the early spring, violets, the flowers, and if you get the leaves early, add some violet leaves for early leaves, and some flowers to your salad. Who wouldn't like to eat? You feel just like a woodland nymph eating some of this stuff. It's really good. And then there are some woody sort of things. Elder flowers, the things that turn into elderberry.
It's true, the umbrals, as they're called. I like that word. It's very, it really describes it. It's like a white flowery little umbrella. And those are soon. We'll have them soon, as a matter of fact, I would think.
Elder flowers, elderberries are coming. And there's another white flower that comes in quantity. Actually, it's kind of at the tail end of it right now. But black locust flowers. Black locust used to not be too much here in central Iowa. It was farther south. But I don't know whether it's climate change or just people are planting them more. Black locusts, and once you plant them, they do tend to take over. Black locust trees are wonderful things, and they produce bunches of very fragrant, one of those spring...
Like clusters.
Clusters, one of those spring smells. What is that in the air, you say? And yes, black locust is blooming. It happens usually after the plums bloom, what is that in the air? Plums first.
The wild plum
and
plums.
And then the black locust plum.
And then after that is the linden flower, tree.
See?
Right, so these smells just kind of come in waves this time of year.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Very good. And there also is a thing that, this isn't a wildflower, but you can plant, there is a variety of marigold called signet marigold, or I think the
The genus is Taggett's lucinda, is a marigold variety that is not big and fuzzy like the common
marigold. Not like a little puff ball of orange.
No, it's more flat, more date,
yeah,
more
got like single petals.
Single petal, good.
Five or six
and
or
that,
something.
That evidently has good properties to eat too. As a matter of fact, our friends Gio and Paula. Gio is from Georgia,
the country,
Georgia, and that gold petal is considered a prime seasoning for things. They put it in different salt seasonings and put it
dry them.
Right. It's good,
and it adds color too. It can be used to make. To dye things, it kind of comes out almost the color of saffron kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of a poor person's saffron. But those signet marigolds, or I don't know if that's the same as the Mexican marigold. I mean, there's so many different varieties. But anyway, there is a marigold that is edible too. And it's not a wild plant, but it's a wise thing to plant in your garden. So here is
Cute
is good. That's what the main thing about these edible flowers is that they bring joy, not just a little burst of flavor, but a burst of joy.
One plant that does have a good flavor, the sage. Which kind of sage is it that makes those pink red flowers?
Oh, there's a kind of sage called pineapple sage.
Pineapple sage, yeah. That flower actually has a really delightful flavor.
And who would think something called pineapple sage, which is very much a sage, there it is.
It's not the sage you necessarily want to cook with, but the flower itself.
It puts up this amazing red, multi-trumpeted little thing. Yeah, I never thought of eating that, but Donna bit into one year. And said, well,
they're delicious.
She is.
As are the flowers on the garlic chive when they come. That's another thing that's everywhere around here.
Right.
And this, like, by August at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice. We've got the onion chives, the purpley things that are available now, and garlic chives, the white ones, the white flowers later. And they're both edible. They're both lovely.
And again, you don't want to put the garlic chive on the birthday cake. But,
you know. Thank you, Donna. A good advice. Good advice. That is good. Well, here comes summer. Oh, here is a idea, a roasted carrot salad with marigolds. What a good idea. In the oven, roast whole carrots and with some oil and a little salt and pepper. And season with marigold leaves and flowers, that kind of strong marigold taste. Roasted carrot salad with marigolds. That's
How does he make it a salad?
I think it's just served cold. Oil and
a little oil and vinegar, and he puts orange zest, marigold leaves, black pepper, and cumin.
Oh, so there
of
you
course,
go.
Why not?
There you go. Well, good. We've been talking about the Reliable Street Farmers Market coming up on the northwest edge of town. So check that out.
It's not this Friday. It's a week from Friday, right?
A week from Friday. Yes. And we thank you for being with us today. The Donna Lana Kitchen is here at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. We come to you live every Tuesday, and we also repeated 7 o'clock in the evening. Go to www.khoifm.org. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can listen on this radio station or listen anytime. Go to that KHOI website. And you can get us by streaming. You can go to our archives, or as Donna mentioned earlier,
we have a podcast.
Who would have thought? Donna, we're just right up into it, aren't we? Oh, my goodness. So thank you for joining us today. We had music today by the Barn Owl Band. Support this fine radio station. My name is Lana Nachtigall.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had fine engineering by Eric B. Oh, you love it when you're across the table from us. There you go. Eat good food and enjoy life.